And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend here in the Nashville area or elsewhere. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Back from Tampa, from 7-on-7 football. Michelle was there too.
At 7-on-7 football,
no.
But there.
No. You got to go watch what? The White Sox lose to their Devil Rays? Love it.
Yeah.
I'm in the
race. It was a good game, though.
I can't stop calling
Although,
them the Devil Rays.
I think they did have like the Devil Rays throwbacks on, so that counts this weekend.
They did have the Devil Rays throws. Yeah. Devil Rays. Yeah, I had to watch a lot of Devil Rays. I mean, Rays baseball because my grandma, that's her number two team. Thank goodness she has a number two team to replace the Detroit Tigers. But doing well. I do have a question for you guys. Who on the official game account 5 hours ago would have tweeted out a Bengals Susanna Hoffs video clip?
I have no idea.
Like, who was running the account like 5 hours ago?
I have no idea.
What was that, 1 a.m.?
Probably David.
David Janes, just another Manic Monday.
Yeah.
Shout out to David Janes.
It's right up his alley.
Yes. Susanna Hoffs and the Bengals.
Yes.
Yes.
Fires you up on this Monday morning.
Happy Monday.
That's right. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Obviously, we have made it. It's almost worth, you know, a miniature celebration in and of itself. It is NFL Draft Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. The draft taking place later this week. We are almost there. We have Nick Suss from the Tennessean coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to his perspective on the Titans as they head into the draft. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. And, of course, as always, taking your thoughts 615-737-1025. We got a lot more to get into with the Titans as well throughout the show. We will do that here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, we begin with Vanderbilt and Tennessee over the weekend. And we had Tim Corbin on the show Friday. We talked about it. It had been a great start to the season for Vanderbilt. They were 13-2 in conference play heading into the weekend. They were a top five team in the country. Everything going really well in the SEC East for Vanderbilt. And on the flip side of things, for Tennessee, it had been an incredibly disappointing season to this point. Their defense had been atrocious. The pitching was not where they needed it to be, and they were on the NCAA tournament bubble and needed a big weekend against Vanderbilt to kind of get the second half of the SEC schedule rolling. And boy, did they get that big weekend against Vanderbilt. They sweep Vanderbilt, and not only did they sweep Vanderbilt, I mean, they pretty much just totally dominated them the whole weekend, including a 17-1 victory on Saturday for the Vols against Vanderbilt. So certainly the most impressive performance, most impressive series for Tennessee all year long. And Vanderbilt swept by Tennessee for the second year in a row. What'd you make of that one from the Vols over the weekend?
Yeah, good luck by me on Vanderbilt winning the series. Yeah, it's a stunner. You know, I'd love to know. This is one of those you'd love to see how the rest of the weekend plays out if they just close it out Friday. 3-1, got your closer in, down to the last strike.
Yep.
And, you know, pinch hit, two-run homer, you know, incredible moment for Tennessee. Then they get a 12th inning homer to win. And, okay, let me see if I can do the math. Let's see. So from down 3-1 for the rest of the weekend, they outscored them, let's see, 20-1, 32-6. 30-6. Yeah. Man. And, you know, it's I do look at this and, yeah, like Vanderbilt's a little bit banged up or whatever. Tennessee's had their rotation moving pieces. Some of those guys like Chase Burns had some big, big performances this weekend. You know, he's coming out of the bullpen now, but he basically gave him like a start Friday.
Dolander looked great.
And Dolander, I mean, they still have a really good team. So I think now, Tennessee now is back on the, okay, I don't think you have to worry about the NCAA tournament. And they got a chance. I mean, that could be a total turnaround for the season. Maybe we overvalued Vanderbilt a little bit, and their record was what it was. They did have a little bit lighter schedule. But, man, if you're Vanderbilt, you've lost seven straight to Tennessee baseball. And that has not happened since 1994, way before Tim Corbin ever got here. And this was definitely not the weekend. I mean, I don't think anybody would have had that, right?
No.
I don't think anybody is picking Tennessee to sweep them this weekend. So, huge for Tennessee, really just a huge loss and a huge win, you know, on both sides. So we'll see if Vanderbilt can recover from that.
Yep, no question about it. And that was one the Vols needed. And will this be more of what they are as they move forward? We'll see. They've been very inconsistent to this point. But we'll see if this was kind of the wake-up call that Tennessee needed and how Vanderbilt responds to really, Joe, what's been their first big set of adversity this year. Because, I mean, not only did they lose these three games, they lost the midweek to Indiana State, too. So that's four in a row that Vanderbilt has dropped. So they're going to have to find a way to get back on the winning side of things, and we'll see if they can do that as they move forward here. Playoff action over the weekend in the NBA. The Lakers take game three in L.A., 111-101. It was 35-9 after the first quarter in a dominant run by the Lakers. They were up big basically the whole game, and then Ja Morant rolled off 22 in a row by himself in the fourth quarter, in the second half there for the Grizzlies, and they closed the gap a little bit, but the Lakers end up winning 111-101. Dylan Brooks kicked out of the game for hitting LeBron in the midsection in game three. So that stuff continues between LeBron and Dylan Brooks. But the Lakers win, and they are up 2-1 in the series heading into game four at home.
Did you just say in the midsection?
I did.
I think he punched him in the groin.
I think
actually.
He did.
Yes. I watched that play. I'm like, did he? Did he mean to?
Yeah, I couldn't really tell.
I don't. I'm glad that they quickly ruled out a suspension. That would have been ridiculous.
Put it this way. He did not get the benefit of the doubt on that call.
He did not on the ejection.
No.
Now, Draymond in that situation also gets a suspension. But
did you see the graphic that the Lakers put up of Dylan Brooks and LeBron?
Was that the Lakers?
Their broadcast team.
Oh, that was their? Okay, because I saw that on Twitter, and I thought it was actually like the broadcast.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the Lakers home broadcast.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Side-by-side, it's like total points, 5,000, 36,000. Yeah. How many MVPs?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, there was nothing inaccurate in it. You know, that's what it is.
You know?
I will say, I mean, I feel like this is a situation of Dylan Brooks like creating something unnecessary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying because of all his dumb stuff he said that's why the Lakers came out and ambushed him like that, but I just...
Probably didn't help.
I don't think just shut up. Like, just shut up and play. I mean, I know it's like we all like when people talk. So, so shut up and play if I'm in the Grizzlies organization.
Yeah.
If I'm a teammate, I'm like, dude, let's just go out there and it's LeBron James. Let's just try to win. Now, all of us, don't shut up.
Yeah, get going.
Yeah, but I don't think it helped them.
I don't think it helped them either. Suns take down the Clippers in game three. They are up 3-1 in that series, and that one's over, let me tell you. Kawhi, especially if Kawhi can't play. I mean, it's done at that point.
Westbrook was like, what, 37? He did all he could, man.
Just he doesn't have enough help with him right now. The Miami Heat take down the Milwaukee Bucks, 121-99 in game three. They're up 2-1. Opportunity to go up 3-1 tonight at home. Now, you know, Tyler Hero's out, and now Victor Oladipo tore his patella tendon, and he's out. So, first off, he continues to get hurt. It's kind of crazy the injuries that he sustained. So, Heat losing bodies. We'll see if Giannis can go tonight in Game 4. He did not play in Game 3, but the Heat up there. 76ers sweep the series against the Nets. Joe, your Warriors yesterday, hold on, 126-125 in what has been a very entertaining and high-scoring series to this point, and that's evened up at 2 between the Warriors and the Kings.
Yeah, great game. I got to say, first of all, Steph Curry almost had a Chris Webber.
Yeah,
I mean, that would have been, calling the timeout. The game is like, just don't do something crazy dumb and you're fine. And he did.
He did.
And then everything from there until Harrison Barnes, I mean.
I thought it was going in, but he left it.
I mean, basically in this series, you've had Wiggins line up for that shot in game one, and now you've had Harrison Barnes line up for that shot in game four. They both missed. If you go through the end of that game and the different series of pokeaways, switches, blocks, everything like that, Draymond Green getting one defensive player of the year so far in his career is such an absolute joke. The guy should have about six of them. I mean, it's incredible, man.
WHMR.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Here we are, folks, WHMR. But I'm telling you, man. The guy, I'm like, why is he guarding De'Aaron Fox? And yet he's the best option to guard De'Aaron Fox at the end of the game. That should not happen. Should not make sense. But he pulls it off, man. Good for him.
Yeah. Warriors and Kings tied at 2. That one could go the distance. I'm excited about
Joe, are you going to tell people your reaction in the bar? Joe is very excited.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing some fist pumping, and Brennan's like, please stop, Dad. And then, when the last shot missed, I was like, yeah! People were wondering what was wrong with me.
Knicks up 3-1 on the Cavs, which is kind of surprising. They're up 3-1 on the Cavs. We'll see if they can close things out there. The Celtics go up 3-1 on the Hawks. And the Timberwolves stave off elimination yesterday and avoid the sweep with a 114-108 win in overtime, just in case.
Just to prolong that.
Anybody's keeping up with the Nuggets and the Timberwolves at this point. On the Stanley Cup playoff side of things, Hurricanes win yesterday. They're up 3-1 against the Islanders. Boston wins 6-2 against the Panthers. They're up 3-1 in that series. Dallas wins 3-2 on the road against Minnesota to even that thing up at 2. So a big win for Dallas yesterday. Tyler Seguin with a couple of goals. And the Edmonton Oilers down 3-0 after the first period yesterday. And I was thinking, oh, boy. This could get really interesting in Edmonton with the reaction going on up there. It was not to be last night for the Kings. Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid basically turned it on. And I know Evander Kane scored the goal that tied the game at 4, but it was Connor McDavid making the play. And Zach Hyman wins it in overtime. But McDavid and Draisaitl turned it on last night, and they end up coming back to win in overtime 5-4. And evening up that series at 2 and maybe saving that series last night for themselves.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I went to bed. I think it was like midway through the second, and it was 3-0. Like, oh, wow. They're toast. You make the switch to Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell stops Victor Arvidsson on a breakaway with 5 seconds left, and then you get the win. That's a biggie, because our pick for the playoffs was looking really bad.
Yes, it was.
Before that. Meanwhile, you know, the Leafs have flipped things around. I was in Tampa. They were not very. They had the Rays are playing well, but the Lightning. A little bit of trouble.
That was quite the game on Saturday. I'm going to have a lot more to say about it coming up at 7:45 today here on the program. But quite the game on Saturday between the Maple Leafs and the Lightning. Toronto wins 4-3 in overtime in a game that had no business ever getting to overtime. But, again, we'll get into that coming up at 7:45 a little bit later. The Devils win on Saturday against the Rangers. That series is 2-1. And the Avalanche, in what was an awesome environment in the first ever playoff game in Seattle, Avalanche went 6-4 on Saturday, and they're up 2-1 in that series. So lots of action over the weekend in the playoffs, and, of course, those will resume tonight, both in the NBA and in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Coming up next, we will get into the Tennessee Titans, including a bunch of rumors about the Titans over the weekend, really, that have nothing to do with the draft. One of them was pretty stupid, and the other one is pretty interesting. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team to see why they are referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it was rumor season over the weekend for the Tennessee Titans, some of which were pretty weird and some of which are very interesting that came out over the weekend. Let's start with the dumb ones. And there was someone that I've never even heard of, and I'd have to go back and find exactly what his name was, that put it out there on Twitter that Derrick Henry is headed to the Eagles over the weekend. And there was a lot of speculation around that. And then Jay Glazer got involved and said that the Titans and the Eagles were not making a trade with Derrick Henry. Paul Kaharsky was, put it out there that the Titans and Eagles haven't even talked. So that was quickly debunked over the weekend. But as things can happen on Twitter nowadays, stuff put out there and it made its rounds. And a couple people were tweeting us over the weekend like, have you seen this? Have you seen the Derrick Henry stuff? I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's happening. So those appear to be unfounded with Derrick Henry over the weekend in the rumor season mill for the Titans. But Jeremy Fowler went on SportsCenter on Sunday and had some interesting comments on the Ryan Tannehill part of this as well. Obviously, it's the week of the draft, and the Titans are heavily rumored to be involved in the quarterback discussion in the draft coming up this week. And Jeremy Fowler said this yesterday on SportsCenter, quote, teams I talk to do believe that Tannehill could be or is available via trade. He's got a $36 million cap hit. New GM Rand Carthon is resetting this roster in a big way. They're making some moves. And so right now they would need a replacement, though they would need somebody in place. So do they draft one? I talked to some teams who believe that the Titans are looking at moving up or even moving back from number 11 because they have a lot of needs to fill. So it's not all about the quarterback position. So at least Ryan Tannehill is comfort food. He is available, and they know what to expect. This is what Jeremy Fowler had to say on SportsCenter yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, the Henry thing, first of all, is so that was the reason there was some, I guess, reason to look at it was it's this guy is the same agent as him, and he's like he hosts Ninja Warrior, I guess, Akbar Bajimialala, and I may have butchered his name, but so I mean, like, there's
I did
some,
leave out the Ninja Warrior connection, yes.
Yeah, you know, he's an actual person, you know, at least it's not just like, you know, somebody's burner account on Twitter. But yeah, I don't know, that's a weird one, but I mean, it makes no sense at all if you think about it. It'd be well, maybe not hilarious for Titans fans, but if Derrick Henry joined AJ Brown,
Titans are like the Eagles farm system.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, Triple A.
I think Derrick's ready. Going up to Philly.
And then the Titans are also the Falcons farm system too.
Apparently,
which
so
is weird. How could you be two teams farm system? But it's like the other way. That's where like the washed up play. It's like the opposite of that. So it's like Triple A is Atlanta and Double A is Titans or I don't know. Anyway, the Tannehill thing though. I mean, is it? I guess. And I see all this. It's like, isn't this kind of no duh though? You know what I mean? Like, is this really saying anything? I mean, maybe just that the Titans want people to know, hey, Tannehill's out there.
Yeah, I mean, well, if he's truly available, like what I would want to know is, like, are the Titans trying to get rid of him? Or is it just like, well, hey, I mean,
I think
we'll
it's
listen.
Yeah, I think it's situational.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's situational, which is if it's part of getting a new quarterback, then, yeah, sure. You could get the new quarterback and make the case to still employ Ryan Tannehill this year.
Especially if it's one quarterback in particular. Like, if they drafted Anthony Richardson, I could make a very strong case to keep Ryan Tannehill around this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would say the same thing about Levis or
yeah.
Hooker for sure, too. You know, Hooker with the ACL. Levis, I think he's also a guy who absolutely needs to sit a year. They absolutely must get rid of him no matter what? I don't think that's what it is. And I think all along it's been a possibility.
The phrasing here by Fowler is intriguing to me. And like when you follow it strictly from the lens of Tannehill being available, like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Because he says, you know, I've talked to some teams who believe that the Titans are looking at moving up or even moving back from number 11 because they have a lot of needs to fill, which none of that is breaking news. But if you have a lot of needs to fill and you're considering moving back, like are they moving back and then taking a quarterback?
That's
like
the thing. Does that mean moving back and then hoping that that works out to get Hooker?
I mean, could be. But, I mean, first off, that's a risky – we've talked about this. Like, if you love Hendon Hooker, that's fine. Then take him at 11. Like, if you think that he's going to be your quarterback – then what's the difference between taking him at 11 and then moving back and taking him at 19 or whatever it would be?
Well, the difference is it's a gamble, and if you win on the gamble and you're like, no one else is going to come close to grabbing him before like 27, so you know what? We can get back. We can get more picks. We can support it more, and we still get our guy. I mean, I hear you. It's like, hey, man, if you know, the only way to make sure is when it's your pick is up and you pick him. But maybe they, you know, I mean, teams do that. They think they know the lay of the land, and they think they know that, yeah, like the next 10 picks is totally clear. No one's touching him. So we're good, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if you lose on that, well, then you'll say that you never intended to pick a quarterback in the first place.
Exactly. Now, the other part of this is let's say that Tannehill is available, and let's say that the Titans are listening or hoping to get people to generate interest or whatever this is, and Tannehill is available. Well, who is a match for Ryan Tannehill right now? I mean, obviously the Jets and the Packers have not completed the Aaron Rodgers trade yet. We talked about that. You know, Charles brought that up with us a couple of weeks ago for Titans fans to keep your eye on. Like, if somehow that falls apart, then maybe the Jets would pivot and that Ryan Tannehill could be a target then. But the reporting around that is that talks have kind of reengaged between the Packers and the Jets this week, and obviously Thursday is the draft, so I would imagine whatever the best offer is for both sides, you're probably going to see it in the next couple of days. So does that deal get done by the draft? Does it not? All those things. But if it's not going to be the Jets, like, who would it be for Ryan Tannehill at this point in the offseason? I don't know.
The Falcons.
I don't think so. Like, I think the Falcons are – I think they're in on Ritter.
Yeah, why are you – why do you think Ritter is just a non-entity there?
I just – I think at the point of his Arthur Smith, I think they saw some things from him last year, but I feel like they need to be winning more. I mean, he's already been there a couple of years. I think he could use another year to sit, to be honest. I mean, he was hurt last year. It was his first year, you know, after Mariota went down. And
that's possible. I mean, obviously, Arthur Smith, I mean, I think you have to consider them. Yeah, it feels – yeah. I mean, it's kind of – I think it probably depends on how Arthur Smith feels about his job security, right? I mean, but from a, like, GM perspective, you got this kid. You had this sit out. It wasn't – it didn't look terrible last year when he played.
It didn't.
So it seems natural that he'd get this opportunity.
Well, the bigger thing for me on the Falcons stuff is, like, they had an opportunity to put their name in the hat to go get Lamar Jackson if you wanted him, right? And they, you know, they were asking – Arthur Smith about that, and they're asking the Falcons about that. Now, I get it. Like, it's a different situation with Lamar, and you'd have to go trade 2 first-round picks plus the contract and all that stuff. But Arthur Smith basically made it sound like, ah, no, like, well, we've got Desmond Ritter. So if that's truly how he felt about the Lamar Jackson situation, would he feel any differently about Tannehill? I know he's worked with Tannehill, obviously.
Just maybe because the cost is so much lower and you don't have to change everything. I mean, the Lamar – the cost is so high. So I don't know that I would, you know, I mean, maybe, I guess. But so you have that. I mean, I saw somebody throw out there Tampa Bay.
Well, maybe. Get Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, and Kyle Trask all in the same room.
What a clash of the Titans.
Jeez. What a quarterback room that would be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even – Patriots – do they hate Mac Jones?
That's the thing. There are teams you could see it. Like the Falcons, I could see it, right? I mean, I could – if that's the way they wanted to go, I could see that being an option.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not a whole lot of teams where I could even see it being an option with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. No, it's – I mean, I'm looking through all the teams right now. I'm like, yeah. I mean –
Texans.
The Ravens.
And Texans draft Will Anderson.
Commanders, question mark?
Maybe. I mean, they've got who, Sam Howell is their quarterback right now.
Yeah. It's like going young, kind of rebuild, probably want to be at the top of the draft next year. That's the thing. If the Commanders get Tannehill, they might be too good to get Caleb Williams, which is their whole plan, you know?
It's very interesting. Like that's the other thing I thought of beyond the – okay, well, what does this mean from the Titans standpoint? But who is out there that's going to actively be interested in Ryan Tannehill to come in and be their starting quarterback?
And if the market's that soft, what are you really going to get for him?
That's the thing. Now, maybe it's as simple as you don't want to pay the $36 million cap hit this year. I don't know. But, like, he's got 1 year left. So, like, just let him play out the 1 year. And then if you draft a quarterback this year, you can move on after that.
Right. And do you not want to be competitive this year?
That's the other thing. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. What do you make of what Jeremy Fowler from ESPN put out there on SportsCenter yesterday? He's hearing that teams believe Ryan Tannehill is available from the Titans. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN putting it out there yesterday on SportsCenter says, quote, teams I talked to believe that Tannehill could be or is available via trade. This is what Jeremy Fowler had to say on the Titans quarterback yesterday on SportsCenter. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. Hope it's a good start to everyone's week.
Thanks, Kenny.
Mr. Retro, this is especially a question for you. I think you can really do a good job with it. Have you ever felt like a team was trying to use you to get out disinformation? How would you feel about that, and has it ever happened to you or any of writer friends you know, and is it respectful to do to someone whose job it is to get out the right information? And I'll hang up and listen. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Kenny.
That's a good question. Yeah, I can't say. You know, I've never been an NFL beat writer, so I think it would, you know what I mean? So, like, it's a little, it's not really in my wheelhouse necessarily. Not that I don't write about this stuff, report on this stuff, but, you know, it's different if you're a beat writer or if you cover a league at large. You know, that would be a good question this week for Charles. That would be a great question. I think we should we should put that down because, obviously, he's covered the NFL at large for, gosh, probably about 17 years now, something like that. Maybe or at least 15, I'd say. So now he's also not like a news. He's not like a Schefter Rappaport constant news stream breaking news stuff. You know, so it'd be those guys. I have to think they at times have been misled.
Oh, yeah.
Have put stuff out that, I mean, we know. Well, look, I mean, Rappaport put out like what Antonio Brown was done to the Bills, right?
Yeah.
A couple years ago. I mean, like, so now is that just bad report? Like, just bad information from one source or whatever. I know that's not what Kenny's asking. He's talking about misinformation. It's a great question because it's like we talk about it's lying season and it's all this stuff. It's, okay, so who out there is actually getting used?
Right.
You know? I think what happens is and that's where it's so important that reporters like, okay, first of all, do you trust this person? Well, look, we just had this thing with C.J. Stroud and S2. And I've heard different things on the 18 for Stroud, but it's like if you're an anonymous executive, you are not accountable for your name's not out there.
Yep.
But you should be accountable to the reporter. Now, I will say, Kenny, I have been misled, and I have reported incorrect information in a football coaching search long ago, and I was misled by a source, and it was my young mistake of writing what one source told me and then finding out later that he was BSing to help himself. Basically, long story, I won't bore you with the details, but basically to make it look like a certain person was more of a candidate than this person was.
Right.
And I found out later, no, that wasn't true. And so I was really, really angry. And so there were angry conversations with me and that source, but I mean, it never came to the light of day that this source lied. So, but the sources you would hope who have relationships with the reporters would not screw them over.
Yeah, you would think. Now, having said that,
but sometimes they do.
I'm sure that it's happened. I'm sure that it has happened, especially this time of year as we talk about it. It is misinformation season as it comes to the draft. And, you know, why are certain reports coming out? What are people saying when it comes to draft time about certain players? And is there anything maybe behind the scenes that is motivating for them to do that? To try to manipulate the draft board a little bit. It's one of those things we talk about every year at draft time. So that would be a great question for Charles later this week. Good question, Kenny. We'll bring that up with Charles later this week.
Yeah, we'll keep that in mind.
Cam on the text line says, Tannehill probably is available, but I believe it depends on if the Titans get a replacement first, whether it be a draft or via trade. And he put Trey Lance in parentheses in that part.
Well, you just mentioned that too. It's funny because at first I laughed, but it's like, I mean, without knowing exactly the Niners' cap situation, okay, Brock Purdy might not play this year. Okay, they like Sam Darnold. But, you know, how much do you like Sam Darnold? How much can you feel good about Sam Darnold? If I was a Niners fan, knowing what all I have, I'm sure someone would be like, Tannehill, no. Dude, Tannehill could go in there and do damage, don't you think?
I would think so. With that roster? I mean, you've got a good offensive line. You've got good weapons at wide receiver / tight end. I mean, you got Christian McCaffrey there.
Again, yeah, especially well. If you're really motivated to, as we discussed last week, really motivated to Trey, leave. Let's stop talking about Trey Lance and that pick. And, you know,
yeah.
Thank you. And you're worried about Brock Purdy. Now you have a legit starter who, with that team, would win a lot of football games. And if you're the Titans, you move on from Tannehill. And, again, it comes down to, do you actually like Trey Lance? Would you actually want Trey Lance on your team?
According to OverTheCap.com, the San Francisco 49ers have $2.9 million available in cap space, $1.89 million in effective cap space. This is from OverTheCap.com.
So they'd have to get creative.
They would.
Because it's not like you're moving a lot out with Lance. But the cap,
you could
the
extend
cap
him.
is malleable.
You could extend him.
You could.
And then move that thing around.
You
a little
could.
Bit.
Or somebody else.
Brock,
you know.
We love you. Welcome back in 2026 when you're the starting quarterback when Tannehill's done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. But, you know, in terms of on the field, yeah, you'd have to obviously get creative with the money. But on the field, it's a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's a year. And then I guess you could, if it's a really good year, you could have Tannehill versus Purdy and Darnold. Again, another trio, just an incredible quarterback competition. No, the more I think about it, I don't hate that one. But it all comes down to, do the Titans actually have any interest in Trey Lance?
Well, and also, to your point, let's say they draft, the Titans' plan is to draft a quarterback, be that at 11 or be that moving up somewhere else. Are you convinced that to do that, you're trading away Ryan Tannehill and you're just letting the rookie take over this year? Like, is your plan to just let the rookie quarterback take over? Like, if it was Trey Lance, it would make sense, right? It's like, okay, well, we're getting Trey Lance. We need to come in and he needs to play, and you need to
and
see
Malik
what he
Willis
has.
Is here. Right. And so there's, you know, that could be a competition.
Right. Like, the Trey Lance part of it is like, okay, well, Ryan Tannehill doesn't necessarily need to be on the roster then. Like, to me, if you're drafting one, especially if you're drafting one that's not Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, and it's a Richardson or a Levis or a Hooker, you can make a pretty good case that they don't need to play immediately. So if that's the way you're going, like, I think it makes more sense to keep Tannehill around. That's just me at that point.
Yeah, I would agree. Because, yeah, like the whole thing about stinking this year is to get the quarterback next year.
Correct.
I guess you could barf for Marv or something. I don't know. We'll have to come up with something for Marv. The top non-quarterback drafted next year will be Marvin Harrison Jr. And I honestly, tanking for him, I mean, I don't hate it. I think he's that good.
He's pretty good.
I think he actually might be like a 10-year All-Pro.
He's pretty darn good. It's crazy to think about how good his dad was, and now you've got him coming around.
Yeah, right. I mean, you don't often see someone who's that great of a player, and then their kid might be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not too often.
LD from
Ken Griffey Jr.
There's that. LD from McMinnville on the text line says, Stillman said on News 2 that the Titans start the season with Tannehill and Henry. Put it in writing. Now I find myself hoping that they are traded. This from LD from McMinnville on the text line.
Ooh, what
that,
put
ask,
it in
Corey
writing.
Curtis about that.
Put it in writing. But speaking of, well, someone else brought up Jared. Let it be known. Let it be clear. Did you see the conspiracy theory that he threw out about C.J. Stroud and the Titans?
Yes, I did.
So C.J. Stroud's like, you know what? I'd like to cost myself a lot of money and look like an idiot so I can go to the Titans where they have no offensive line or receivers. But I love Vrabel.
We love Vrabel. So let's just.
Vrabel's a Buckeye.
I'm going to take this S2 test, and it's just going to. I'm just going to totally bomb it. And then the Titans can draft me at 11 without having to move up.
A Buckeye for you. Buckeye for you. WHMR.
This is the first time I'm hearing this.
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had an entire segment. Look, he did a great job. He and I will say, the TD early little nugget that he got in Indy, that the Titans like Stroud.
Sure.
And he kind of built on that and all the things that have happened.
Well,
I mean, it was a well-designed
conspiracy.
Thesis.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly dumb. But it was well done. I enjoyed it.
I'll be honest with you. On Friday, when he said that he had a conspiracy theory on C.J. Stroud at 2 o'clock, I kind of thought that was where he's going.
Yeah. Yeah, it made sense.
It did.
It's like, C.J. and his agent, you know what? I know you can make a lot more money and go somewhere and probably have a lot better, you know, you have some receivers and some protection. But you know what? Vrabes, he was an amazing linebacker.
Got Derrick Henry. Just turn around and hit that thing off.
Nashville's
man.
A good selling point.
I don't know, man. It's that part of it's going to be really fascinating to see where he goes. But the Tannehill part of this, like to me, if he is available, there's a whole lot of dot connecting that you're going to have to do. The Titans, I was thinking about this yesterday in terms of trying to take our, you know, kind of local view out of it, because obviously that whatever the Titans do is going to be the most interesting part of this draft for us. But I was just thinking league-wide, like where do the Titans rank in terms of intrigue heading into this draft? Like they got to be up there. Anytime you're talking about potentially moving up for a quarterback and what they could do, like the Titans have got to be pretty high up the list of just the national intrigue of what exactly is going to happen with them in this draft, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, the Titans complain about not being talked about a lot in this league, but this year, you lose seven straight games, you got a chance to be a little bit more prominent this time of year. And they are. They're one of those teams that is outside of that range of the top quarterbacks in theory, but would make sense to move up. And Zach from Nashville, thank you so much. Star for Marv is the obvious one. Thank you. Star for Marv. What did I say? Barv for Marv?
You could go star for Marv. You could go starving for Marvin. Either one works.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like starving for Marvin.
I kind of like starving for Marvin, too. Even though it's not like a negative verb anymore, that you like you are starving for Marvin instead of like starve for Marv. Yeah. But yeah, they're both very good.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. It is finally NFL draft week here for the Tennessee Titans. What do you think they're going to do? What do you think they should do? We'll have that conversation coming up next. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill as well. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It is draft week. We have made it. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft, and taking your thoughts on what Jeremy Fowler had to say yesterday on ESPN, and that was that he is hearing that teams believe Ryan Tannehill is or could be available via trade. The $36 million cap hit obviously is a big one with Ryan Tannehill right now, and the Titans would have to find out whatever their replacement would be at quarterback, be that in the draft, be that via trade, whatever the case would be there. But according to Jeremy Fowler, quote, teams I talk to do believe that Tannehill could be or is available via trade. This was the quote from Jeremy Fowler yesterday on SportsCenter. So taking your thoughts on that. Cam also says no state income tax helps Stroud with the money side of it too. If this was some big plan.
That's a fair point.
Hey, CJ, let me tell you, no state income tax here. So,
yeah, like I'm not saying that, you know, playing for the Tennessee Titans is like something that NFL players wouldn't want to do. There's a lot to like about here.
Sure.
But if you're a quarterback who recently was considered the number one pick and now probably should be the number two pick.
You could go all the way to 11?
Hey. Come here. Like, there's the whole thing where, like, Vrabel, I guess, said, hey, let's go into the whatever the training room. Let's have a chat.
You know?
Which, believe me, like 30, 40 people had chats with Stroud that weekend. Yeah. But that day. But, you know, fine. Okay, Cam. Or not. Okay, CJ. Just be a little slow on the test. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just kind of botch it. Okay. Trust me. It'll be worthwhile. Fall to 11.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
We'll talk about this one day in your Hall of Fame speech when you have a great career with the Titans. That would be a heck of a strategy.
You got to love it.
You got to love it for sure. So it is draft week here with the Tennessee Titans. We have made it to this point. We're 3 days away coming up on Thursday from the first round of the NFL draft. And like I said, I'm looking around the league, and I think the Titans are one of the most intriguing teams league-wide beyond just our local angle of it. But trying to figure out what they're going to do and if there's a chance a quarterback is going to be taken. And we asked TD on Friday about his percentage chance, and his was 45. What was yours? 41, 42, something like that?
I'm 41, 59. Yeah. 41 QB, 59 non-QB.
Okay, and I was like 35% QB, So, which is, like I said, pretty high. Like, yeah. All of us are pretty high on the quarterback
part
of this.
It's a healthy percentage.
Heading into the first round of the NFL draft.
Do we have a Michelle percentage?
Hers was over 50.
That's right. You're more than 50%.
Yeah, she's recording something right now. But she was, yeah, she was over 50%.
Yeah.
Which is also very high.
That is high.
So, as we sit here today, what do you think the reaction is from Titans fans if quarterback is not selected? Because I was... You know, obviously it's draft season. You know, we talk about all this. Quarterback is exciting, right? It's the most exciting position in sports and most important position in sports, all those things. If they roll out of there and it's Peter Skoronski coming up on Thursday or Paris Johnson Jr. or whoever it would be, although I will say some of the conversation on the offensive lineman the last couple of weeks has kind of changed the way I view that a little bit. So maybe it wouldn't be the right move. My go-to line was a couple weeks ago, that'd probably be the right move for the Titans, but I don't know how well-received it would be. What do you think the reaction is if that's the way they go coming up on Thursday?
Wah, wah. I mean, it's just what it is. Now, it's interesting, though, because I feel like Titans fans, I don't know what percentage this is, but I feel like a fair amount of Titans fans are probably fine ending the Ryan Tannehill era. It's been a good era.
Yep.
But, you know, I think Titans fans are ready to think about who the next quarterback is. But I also think Titans fans do not relish the idea of moving on from Derrick Henry.
Yep. I would agree with that.
And you know, look, it could work out that Derrick Henry is here with a different quarterback, and then you get your cake and eat it too, which, again, why would you want cake if you aren't eating it? But I think it's interesting because there's a little, you know, it's on one side, sounds good. On the other side, whoa, 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 whoa. We need more time with Derek, you know? But yes, if it turns, how many Titans fans, the answer to that question is also probably the answer to how many Titans fans actually think that there are moves available right now to Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to make this team an AFC player next year. If you believe that, then you're like, Skoronski, yes.
Right.
Interior, yeah, it's about the offensive line. And now you go get a receiver and go get a edge guy, and there we go. 2023 AFC South champions. How many Titans fans feel that way? Some do.
Some do. Now, then, I mean, that's the interesting thing to me, because I think that there is a scenario that could play out where they could be competitive in the AFC South and have a chance to win the division and get back to the playoffs. What I don't know that I buy is that there's a scenario where they can be a legitimate Super Bowl threat. Does that make any sense? Like, I don't think...
Sure.
I don't think the AFC South is going to be very good. Like, I know Jacksonville is obviously going to be the favorite, and they're a good team. Now, you look, we brought the FanDuel odds a couple weeks ago of the AFC South. Titans are still second-best odds there. Jacksonville's first. But you go look through the list of AFC teams, and I think Jacksonville has, like, the seventh-best odds. Not that the odds mean anything. I think Jacksonville is going to be good. I don't know that I'm going to say that Jacksonville is going to be a true contender in the AFC. Like, I like Trevor Lawrence. I like Calvin Ridley coming in. I like a lot of their pieces. They also have a number one schedule that they're going to have to deal with this year, and I don't know how good they're going to be. So I think there's a scenario that the Titans could be good enough to compete in the AFC South and good enough maybe to go win the division again, which is great. I don't know that I see right now, based on their roster, a path where they're actually a contender for the Super Bowl in the AFC. I don't see it.
So internally then, just go internally. I know we're going to talk some about this too, but okay. How much do you care? I mean, look, if your resume is tied to performance of this team, it'll make the resume. AFC South champion this year, this year, this year, this year.
Yep.
And you look, I hear this. I mean, we hear it all the time in the hockey world, but hear this in football too. Get in the tournament. You're telling me that you get in the tournament and you get a home game, and you don't want that. You don't want that opportunity. You don't have to beat all those teams. You gotta beat three teams.
Yep.
So, I mean, some people would say, hey, if you can win the division, then automatically you have to be included, because this tournament can be wild too. You know, we've certainly seen wild cards and lower seeds make runs.
Sure.
But I agree with you. I mean, I don't see how a lot of things would have to come together at max capacity for this team to be able to go to Kansas City or, you know, Buffalo or whatever, and win a game in the postseason.
Well, I mean, even – and that's with staying healthy, right? I mean, look, the giant hole right now that I just don't think they're going to be able to fix is wide receiver. Like, we've made it through the free agency part of it, basically. I know there's still some free agent guys out there, but nobody that's going to make any difference. Otherwise, they would have been signed by now. Like, if there were free agents out there that could be, you know, a big needle mover one way or the other, they'd already been signed at wide receiver. So that's not the route you're going. Like, I guess you could get really lucky and find two wide receivers in this draft that not only are very good, but are very good immediately and can help you as rookies. And we know how hard that is to find. And then it requires Treylon Burks taking that next step and being, you know, the guy that you drafted him to be right now. I mean, that's a lot that has to happen at wide receiver to the point where I don't think it's realistic. Like, I don't think it's realistic for the Titans to totally fix wide receiver this offseason anymore. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen.
You know how Rand Carthon could really just, like, drop the mic on his first offseason?
What's that?
Is do the opposite of what J-Rob did last year and make a huge draft day trade for a star veteran receiver. How about that?
Could be.
Now they're good.
Yeah.
Who would they be? What are they giving up? I have no idea, but I'm just saying it sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds great. But I'm just saying, like,
No, but you're right. The receiver is a stretch to be very good this year right now.
I got a texter on the text line. Ken from Waverly on the text line says, do you think the Lions go after Carter, or are they going to stick to tradition and draft someone that the announcer can barely pronounce? Ndamukong Suh, Amir Abdullah, Ezekiel Ansah Okudah. Sometimes I don't know if they're drafting a football team or a sleeper cell. Jackson Smith and Jigba should be on the board. This is from Ken from Waverly, big Lions fan. The Lions part of this is interesting from the Titans standpoint because I still look at the number six pick, and I'm trying to say, could that be something that they try to move up and go get? Like, could the Lions – we talk about three with Arizona. Could the Lions at number six be something that they try to move up and go get?
Yeah, yeah. I think the Lions at number six is yeah, I think that's possible for sure. Lions have some gambling issues, by the way. So, Lions may be more looking at a receiver themselves now with all those guys being out there. Yeah, I mean, 2 through 6, that's what Brugler told us the other day. So, you know, that's possible.
The wide receiver part of this just did get more interesting with the Jameson Williams news from the Lions.
Yeah. I mean, that's
– still boy, not drafting I don't Smith know if and Jigba number six, though, right?
No, no way. Yeah, that Jameson Williams thing, apparently it was like – you know, FanDuel or something on something non-football, but because he was using, like, the Lions' Wi-Fi, he had 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they're not messing around with that gambling stuff.
They're not. I mean, you know, domestic abuse, you know, well, you never know. See how that goes. But, boy, if you you get your FanDuel on your phone that is pushed into everybody's face in the NFL, gamble, 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 gamble.
Yep.
Now that is going to be a big penalty.
Yes, it is. Ricky on the text line says, hey, guys, I just spent a week in New York City, and Boomer and a few others mentioned the Titans and the Jets both linked to the number 2 pick. Or take it for what it's worth, but it's a pretty strong rumor on in New York. This coming from Rick on the text line. I mean, that the number 2 part of it, and even, you know, we talked about this with Brugler the other day, right? Between 2 and 6 for the Titans if they moved up. Like, I just don't know that I see the Houston Texans – doing business with the Titans. I mean, I guess if the Titans make an offer that you just can't refuse, then you got to do it at that point. But, like, I would assume if Houston signing, had their druthers, they would rather deal with somebody else.
Yeah, you're signing up for them to get a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I don't see it. But then again, they do weird stuff.
They do weird stuff. But the Colts are there too, right? I mean, if you're the Colts at number 4, I mean, if Houston is wanting to trade out, maybe the Colts could put together, I guess, the best package for Houston if they wanted to do that. So,
that's true.
Houston is very interesting. 615
AFC South is huge this week.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So, we've thrown out different scenarios for the Titans. What does Amy Adams-Strunk want in all of this? What does she want the direction to be for the Titans as they move through the rest of this offseason? We'll get into that coming up next. We've got Nick Suss from the Tennessean joining the show at 7:30, Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.